Thank you for that reading, Di. So today is sermon number two in our new Parables of the Kingdom series, and our theme is, as we just heard, weeds, mustard and yeast, covering that passage that Di just read. So let me pray for us. Father, please be with us now as we hear your word taught. We pray you'd give us a true understanding of Jesus' teaching, and more than that, Father, by your Spirit work in us to give us a desire to put it into practice so that we may please our Lord. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so weeds, mustard and yeast sounds like an agricultural convention or a horticultural convention or something like that. However, we must remember that Jesus is teaching about the kingdom of heaven. He's likening the kingdom of heaven to certain things. And what Jesus has to teach us today about the kingdom of heaven is full of optimism and hope, with a touch of realism. Actually, a touch of realism is probably an understatement. It's probably more of a whack of realism. Jesus often kind of has a whack of realism, doesn't he? So let me begin. I have left an important article at home on my desk. Never mind. What am I going to do with that? I had an article about optimism and realism. I don't have it. Think on my feet here. In brief, I think we're optimistic. I really needed to see it. No, it's at home. Thank you, David, but no. I've got my laptop there. Bring it up. Can you bring my laptop for me quickly? Under my seat. Sorry about this. This is very unusual. If I can't find it quickly, we'll move on for the sake of time. No, it's not there. Okay. I won't keep you waiting with searching it up. I'm sorry. Let's move on. Parable of the Weeds. It won't hurt us to hear it again, especially since it'll let me kind of settle down a bit here. Ready? Jesus told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while everyone was sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. When the wheat sprouted and formed heads, then the weeds also appeared. The owner's servants came to him and said, "Sir, didn't you sow good seed in your field? Where then did the weeds come from?" "An enemy did this," he replied. The servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. At that time, I will tell the harvesters, 'First collect the weeds and tie them in bundles to be burned, then gather the wheat and bring it into my barn.'" Now, it's not hard to work out what's going on in this parable. I think it's fairly simple and straightforward. At least for us who, by the grace of God, have ears to hear. You might remember last week the importance of having ears that hear in a spiritual sense. The disciples are eager to be good soil. They want to hear and understand so that they can apply Jesus' teaching and produce a crop. So in verse 36, he left the crowd and went into the house. His disciples came to him and said, "Explain to us the parables of the weeds in the field." And he answered, "The one who sowed the good seed is the Son of Man," that is Jesus himself, who self-identified as the Son of Man of Daniel 7. In the Old Testament, the prophet Daniel prophesied that the Son of Man would reign over the kingdom of God, over the kingdom of heaven forever. And then he says, "The field is the world, and the good seed stands for the people of the kingdom," that is Christians in the world. "The weeds are the people of the evil one," that is unbelievers, those who are unwilling to receive Jesus as their Saviour and Lord. "And the enemy who sows them is the devil." Now, notice that the evil one sows them in and amongst the wheat. Okay, this is This is important here. We're not talking about the church over here and the world over there. We're talking about the weeds among the wheat, as in this image. That is, unbelievers within the church. Okay, so Jesus is giving us a realistic expectation about the church in this age. There will be weeds among the wheat. Not that we get hold of spiritual Roundup, we're not to be on the hunt for those amongst us who do not believe, as though we need to spray them and get rid of them. Thank you. The article's been sent to me. Thank you. I'm not sure who did that, but thank you. We'll move on. In fact, to the contrary, we want to welcome those who don't yet believe. So not spiritual Roundup. We want to welcome those who don't yet believe and love them and gently lead them to the Lord Jesus if they are willing. But Jesus is giving us a dose of realism. From time to time, we will have unbelievers in the church, and sometimes it will be the people that we didn't expect. Lovely people, committed people, leaders, even pastors. We know from elsewhere in the New Testament that there will be false shepherds, false teachers. There will be immorality in the church that some refuse to repent of. Sadly, believers can also fall into immorality. We're not exempt from this. But God willing, when challenged, when exposed, we who are Christians will repent and genuinely seek forgiveness and restoration. But the point Jesus is making in this parable is that in this age of the church, we will see wheat and weeds coexisting. This gentleman here is John Calvin, the great Reformed theologian. He says of this parable, "In my opinion, the design of the parable is simply this. So long as the pilgrimage of the church in this world continues, bad men and hypocrites will mingle in it with those who are good and upright. That the children of God may be armed with patience and in the midst of offences which are fitted to disturb them, may preserve unbroken steadfastness of faith." Notice in Jesus' original telling of this parable to the crowds that he gives us insight into why the delay in rounding up the weeds. He says, well, the servants asked him, "Do you want us to go and pull them up?" "No," he answered, "because while you are pulling up the weeds, you may uproot the wheat with them." You know what it is like in the garden when you have to pull up the weeds or the grass from the base of saplings or potted plants. It's very easy to pull the whole thing up, isn't it? If you're not careful, you can make a real mess of your plant. You can disturb it, even destroy it. Jesus isn't saying that we allow sin to go on in the church unchecked. There is still a place for calling out sin and calling for repentance. Jesus himself teaches this elsewhere. But we're not going for a wholesale clean out. roundup of unbelievers. That is for the future, Jesus says. We leave that ultimate separation to him. In the future, the harvest is the end of the age, and the harvesters are the angels. As the weeds are pulled up and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will weed out of his kingdom everything that causes sin and all who do evil. They will throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Jesus and his clear teaching on hell there. Then the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Whoever has ears, let them hear. So the parable of the wheat and the weeds is thoroughly realistic, and it is optimistic. In this age, the wheat and the weeds coexist. That can result in some headaches. But our hope, our sure future in Christ, is the heavenly kingdom where there will be no more sin and no more evil. That's very good news for us who are wheat by grace. We're not wheat because we earned our way in. We are wheat because of the grace of God in the Lord Jesus and forgiveness that comes through him. But that future, no more headaches. Peace and harmony for eternity. But obviously not for unbelievers. Jesus' teaching here is very challenging about the future. Unbelievers would be advised to repent and receive Jesus as their Saviour and Lord before it is too late. No one need be a weed. You can become wheat. Whoever has ears, let them hear, is Jesus' present gracious call to you. It's not too late. You can respond today. Risen Lord Jesus, change my heart. Help me to receive you. Help me to understand. I say we can help you if you have questions about this. Please come and talk to me today, or if you are viewing online today, get in contact with us, please, via the email on our website or give us a call. But please act, because Jesus is dealing with matters of eternity here. Okay, much more briefly, the parable of the mustard seed and the yeast. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. We all know about mustard seeds. Who likes mustard? It's about 50-50 or maybe less, maybe 30-70. Who likes their mustard on the hotter end of the spectrum? Okay, yeah. It's interesting. If you like mustard, you like it hot, it seems, mostly. Oh, a few people saying no. Okay. People have a love-hate relationship with mustard seeds. Some love it, others don't. Here is the mustard tree that Jesus is referring, not the particular tree, but here's one in Israel. It may not be the biggest tree you've seen. It's pretty small compared to the Sydney grey gums out there, but it's big for Israel, and you can imagine how grateful you would be to come across one in the Middle Eastern desert. The point of the parable is fairly obvious, isn't it? Something so small can become so big when it comes to the kingdom of heaven. We might be a small gathering in a bigger community, in a large, vast city, in a larger and vaster nation, and a world. It's immense. But God can still do great things for his kingdom in and through us here. He can grow his church here. We can send workers out into the harvest, you into the local community, and me, I should be doing that too. Others around our city and across our nation. We can think of people who've gone out from us to other parts. And we've sent people into all the world, all the way to Tanzania and now Malta. God can do amazing things through little, insignificant, at least in the world's perspective, insignificant St. Paul's Terry Hills. He has done and will do. We can be optimistic about the future because God is at work. And I love how Jesus tells two parables to make a similar point here. The first is a man planting a mustard seed in his field. The second is a woman at work in her home. Traditional patriarchal roles, I know, but if we don't get our back up about that, it's nice that Jesus includes both. Verse 33, he told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through all the dough. Here is some yeast. And here is a bag of flour. And let me ask you the same question. How many cups of flour in a pound of flour? Four? I'll take your word for it. Google said 3 2/3. And how many cups in a loaf, roughly? Big loaf?
Google was probably quoting American
pounds. Okay. Thank you, Gary. I didn't check that, actually.
Google's mostly American.
True. Roughly 1 pound of flour in one loaf of bread. Roughly. So the woman in Jesus' parable is baking 60 loaves. It's a big effort. Maybe it's for family and friends. Maybe it's for the whole community. Maybe she's in business. It's for the market. At any rate, yes, she's working hard. She's mixing yeast through all that dough. But in the end, it is the yeast that does all the work, right? The bread will only rise because of the yeast. A small amount of yeast has a significant impact on a large amount of dough. Likewise, the kingdom of heaven. Again, we small, insignificant Christian people, in the world's eyes, can have a big, significant impact for the kingdom. We can spread the yeast, if you like. We can plant the seed. God transfers people from weeds to wheat. He grows and expands his kingdom through us. Well, more accurately, through the word of the gospel. Through us. He does big things through small people, significant things through the insignificant. This fills us with optimism and hope for the future. It gives us purpose in the present and joy with a good dose of realism. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the encouragement we have received today. You are growing and expanding your heavenly kingdom, even through us. Thank you for making us your wheat by your grace. Thank you for giving us a true understanding of the gospel of your Son. Please work through us as individuals and as a church to spread the seed of your gospel. Please do great things through us in 2023. Transfer people from weeds to wheat. Help us to go out with your word. Help us to invite in. May your kingdom come and your will be done through us, for we pray in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. A final song.